From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, you'll hear an interview with Ginny Sassaman, whose new book is Preaching Happiness, Creating a Just and Joyful World, published by Rootstock. Ginny Sassaman is a co-founder, immediate past president, and advisory board member of Gross National Happiness USA. She created the Happiness Paradigm. Since 2013, she has also served as a lay preacher at Unitarian Universalist churches in Vermont, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, and South Carolina. She has given speeches and made presentations around the country on the nexus between personal well-being and systems change. Additionally, Ginny Sassaman teaches secular meditation classes. Originally from central Pennsylvania, Ginny and her husband Bob spent many years living in Washington, D.C. before settling in Vermont in 2001. Her new book, Preaching Happiness, is full of helpful and hopeful information for those seeking to make the changes necessary to live a happy and full life and to create a just and joyful world. When we spoke, I asked Ginny to talk about the genesis of her book and the title, which is not On Happiness or Finding Happiness, but Preaching Happiness. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
The genesis comes from a couple of different sources. One is that I came into the happiness movement through the lens of the big picture systems change, the gross national happiness concept. So I started out being concerned about big change. Through that, I became acquainted with the personal happiness movement. And they're actually two separate movements. And really fascinated by positive psychology and the science of happiness and how we could all be personally happier. So I started, I realized that there were not that many people occupying the spot that I was in at the connection, the nexus between systems happiness movement and personal happiness movement. And so the more I was reading and exploring and teaching, the more I realized that I believed I had something important to say in a book that was not out there yet, and that very few people could put out there. So I tried multiple stabs at writing the book. And, you know, I had a friend helping me and saying, no, this isn't right. No, this isn't right. And then in the middle of all that, so I go to a Unitarian church in Montpelier, Vermont. And my own church asked me if I would like to give the service one day. And of course, I have things to say. And I said, yes.
When I got to that part of the book, I have to admit, I thought every writer I know would say yes to this.
I know, because the sermon is written. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to deliver it, but the key part is writing it. So I started doing more sermons. And then in 2017, so the Unitarian Church is a little different from most, I believe, in that many Unitarian churches take the summer off.
Right.
And as a result, there are some churches which are only summer churches. So there's a little picturesque church in a lovely town by the shores of a lake in Barnard, Vermont, summers only. And they asked me to do four of their eight sermons.
Is that Silver Lake?
Oh, my gosh, it is.
Yeah, I know that.
You know it.
I've never been in that church, but I know that area.
Lovely church, yeah. Lovely area. So I did four sermons that year. And then the next year, and of course, because it's to the same congregation, everyone had to be distinct, offering different stories, different information. The next year, they asked me to do seven of their eight.
Wow.
And they knew I'm not an ordained minister, but that was fine. They wanted me. So again, all seven of those had to be completely different. Halfway through that batch, I said, oh, this is it. This is the book of sermons. So then I started, as I was writing the sermons, having in mind that it would be turned into a book, and then approached a publisher. And then in 2019, they asked me to do five more. They actually wanted me to do more. I just can't. So the book is a compilation of those 16 very distinct sermons on aspects of personal happiness and systems change for maximum well-being for all, and how interconnected they are with one another.
Okay, great. Now, you mentioned the Gross National Happiness USA project.
Yes.
So, do you mind if I just read a quick paragraph from...
Oh, no, please do.
All right. And I actually think I am starting this sort of in the middle of the paragraph, but... there was a lot to catch up on if I started at the top. So, okay, nobody's talking about utopia. We're envisioning better approaches that can be taken by real humans with all their complex wiring, including the accomplishment drive, which sometimes ramps up to all-out greed. By changing the end goal, what we want to achieve, to better, we can encourage everyone, including type A overachievers and those in the grips of greed, to focus those desires directly on happiness rather than on the stepping stones of stuff and money. And that made so much sense to me as I was reading it. And I wondered if you can talk a little bit, you know, like just redirecting our goals and using our energy towards something for everyone, you know, and letting us all know that, you know, our common, well, let me let you answer the question instead.
Well, it makes so much sense to me as well. I mean, it's going to take a lot of work to get from here to there, but it's so sensible. It's so practical. So one way to make sense of this concept is to think of it through the personal lens first. So if we think what... for each of us individually, what really matters most to us in our lives. And then it's not going to be just money, and it's not going to be just stuff. Money and stuff may very well be part of the equation. You know, we like our comforts. We want to provide our loved ones with comfort, but it is also about good health. We want good health. We want good education. We want good care when we're old. We want good care for the children we know. We want good care for the environment. Mm-hmm. And many other things. There may be religious traditions that are important to an individual to hold and to preserve. So if you think of making a chart, which I do, and each day, like what is most important to me to accomplish in a given day, first of all, earning money is not on the list at all. Today, it's important to me to be kind to others. It's important to me to be grateful. It's important to me to exercise. It's important to me to meditate. And also, learning is something that makes us happy. It's important to me to do my online Spanish language course every day. So each of us will have a whole different set of indicators of what will make us happy, what will really provide the conditions for our personal well-being. Okay, the same is true on the big systems basis. And the problem as I see it right now is that our big systems pictures is just always about money and money related. You know, what is the gross domestic product? What it's about accumulating more and more, bigger and bigger, at the expense of all the other things that matter in our society. And I think a lot of that is coming into focus pretty clearly right now, that in fact, as a society, we do care about the health of not just our own selves, but of our communities. We do care about the environment, and we're seeing, you know, one silver lining right now of the COVID crisis is it's giving the planet a little bit of time to breathe. There's even there's such an interconnection, which I also talk about in the book, between animal well-being and human well-being. And before this interview, I was looking at an article in the New York Times about how the fact that we treat animals in some cases so poorly and in such terrible conditions, that is in fact responsible for where most of these viruses make the jump from animal to human. So it's all interconnected. Mm-hmm. And we really need a system that judges that and measures all of those. Mm-hmm. And there are systems like that out there. It started in Bhutan. But another country which is using basically a gross national happiness system, they don't call it that, is New Zealand. And they call it the people's well-being budget. And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but New Zealand is actually doing extremely well, flattening mm-hmm. the COVID curve. So it's doable. It's quite doable. It just requires a shift. And I just love this. The reason I do this work is because it leads to greater happiness
right.
for us and everybody else. You know, I mean, what's not to like?
Right. Yeah. Now, I think this relates. Later in the book, you talk about not just believing in happiness alone. And you say, you know, when you think about what's next, you hope our what's next conversation will include, one, an understanding of the implicit value of individual happiness, and two, the adoption of new inclusive measures to success to support well-being policies planet-wide, which I think is relevant to what you were just saying, obviously, about New Zealand. And
Right.
So what happens next with, you know, bringing this to a wider public? How is that getting out?
So we're still in the learning curve there. The plan had been to be mailing out advanced reader copies to reviewers and bookstores. We were going to do that in March, but that couldn't happen. So we're still proceeding. We're proofing. We're doing the final proofing, and we'll be printing copies soon. So the publisher and also one local bookstore in Vermont here will be taking orders online. And the goal right now is just to try to get out there and, just do as many radio interviews and podcasts as possible, to use social media to spread the word. I think we're still hoping that we'll be able to mail copies to reviewers. I don't know when. We had hoped by the end of April. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a book tour. I hope there'll be a book tour in the fall. But again, it's just a giant question mark. So it's kind of like we're all using Zoom meetings. We're all using new tools now.
Right. So, and are you organizing any online events?
I haven't yet. I don't know how to do that, but that sounds like a good idea.
I know that some people are doing online launches through bookstores or on their own. Now, which bookstore is taking orders? Are we able to say that?
Oh, sure. I'd love to say their name. It's called Bear Pun Books in Montpelier, Vermont. And, the owner is a friend. And
Claire has been on the show a number of times about book recommendations.
Yeah. Oh, great, great. And, Vermont, we're community oriented here. And we, both me personally and the publisher, we love Bear Pond Books and we love the independent bookstores and really want to support them.
Now, your publisher is Rootstock.
Correct.
And they are a local hybrid publisher. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. All right, great. I wonder if we can talk about this period of quarantine. We kind of emailed about this ahead of time a little bit. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about how writers can, or how people can write through this period of time, which is so painful for, I think, a lot of people, either because they are sick or they know someone who's sick or they are frightened. They feel isolated. I mean, I think that there are silver linings to this quarantine, like you said, the environment is doing so much better, and, you know, people are bonding with their families. But I right. also think that there is pain. So I don't know. What are your thoughts about writing through times of pain in order to find happiness in maybe a time that's difficult for some?
You know, that just really speaks to me of grief. And and grief is, it's important. If you want to be happy, you need to feel your grief. And to me, being a happy person, would being a, and for writers, I think writing makes us happy. But being a happy person means feeling everything that you feel and not trying to pretend that you don't. So I think that for many of us, for a certain period of time, I just don't think writing is that possible, or not anything really ambitious, because grief can really make us tired. It can make us really need to slow down, maybe sleep. And I think that's fine. And I'm very comfortable with allowing the grief to have its moment, because I know it passes. And it will pass sooner and better if we let it have its moment. And then I think it's important to not wallow. I think it's important to give it its due, but don't stay there too longer than necessary. And I think that the creative process is really important and really helpful to everybody, not just writers. And I think writing a little bit, and maybe not pushing yourself too hard. I mean, it's probably hard for people who are on deadline. And I know I've been trying to write blogs on my website about all of this. And, you know, there's just days. It's just too hard.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we have this sense that, oh my goodness, well, one upside of this is I've got all this time.
Right.
And I'm going to be able to use this time toward creativity. But everybody, it seems, people I talk to all feel like they're walking through water. You know, it's just a kind of strange time for us.
Right. You know what I think is, well, this is for me. I feel like as we are getting more light and more sun and more warmth, I feel like my spirits are springing back. So, you know, I think what I would really recommend in general is that people do some what to me are happiness practices. And that will help them come back to the place where they're able to do their work. So even through this, there are multiple things that I do, in some cases daily, in some cases just regularly. I mean, I do every night write down several sentences about three different things that I'm grateful for. And so that is a terrific, gratitude is really an extremely helpful practice. So I do that. I meditate multiple times a week, and I try to get out there and exercise almost every day. And, but I'm not pushing it, you know, it's just reasonable.
Does the writing about three things that you're grateful for every day, does that ever feel like a burden? Like, oh my God, I have to come up with three new things. I don't want to say the three things from yesterday or the day before. I mean, honestly, that would be hard after a while.
So,
or do you repeat yourself?
I don't have rules like that.
Okay, good.
Repeat yourself. It's just what you're feeling. And the reason that this is important, and the reason it's important to write several sentences and not just, I used to just write like, okay, I'm grateful for my husband, I'm grateful for wine, I'm grateful for coffee, whatever. But now I write longer pieces, because while you're doing that, you're rewiring your brain. And so it doesn't really matter what it is you're writing. What matters is what you're feeling as you write it. And Wonderful. What does happen for me, I do this at night, and sometimes I don't know when I'm going to write. And I pick up my little notebook and my pen, and I just start. And see what comes out. Yeah. And things always come out.
Yeah.
And probably every writer would feel that too. Once they started, things are going to surface.
I just have one last question. I'm wondering what you're reading lately. People are reading so much now in this period. Are you reading anything that you would recommend to listeners, or have you lately?
My three favorite books lately are relatively heavy.
Okay.
One is, I'm so glad I read this book, is by Margaret Wheatley. Okay. And it's called Who Do We Choose to Be Now? Okay. And this book came out, I think, in 2017. And she said, we are in for systems collapse, period. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's when is it going to happen? This is just what happens. And having read that and being able to refer back to it is very helpful to me. Mm. I also read a book by a Catholic sister, a Catholic nun, Sister Joan Chittister. A Time for Uncommon Courage, I think it is, in which she is calling on each of us to be prophets.
Okay.
For the new system, whatever it will be. And then the third book is called Sacred Instructions.
Okay.
By a woman named Sherry Mitchell. Sherry Mitchell is a leader in the Penobscot tribe in Maine.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a deeply spiritual book from her tribe's religions, and really speaks to the spiritual aspect of this. And she says, we were made for this time. And we know inside of us what each one of us should do.
Mm-hmm.
And I find her book to be so comforting and inspiring, that we're moving in the right direction and we're all part of it, whether we really know it or feel it just yet.
Wonderful. Those sound like great.
They're all quoted in the book.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. I want to just say again, the name of the book is Preaching Happiness, Creating a Just and Joyful World, published by Rootstock, written by Ginny Sassaman. Ginny, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Shayla, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro, host of Write the Book, a show for writers and curious readers. In addition to my normal interviews, I've lately been speaking with local authors whose works are just out but whose book tours have been interrupted by the quarantine. That was a conversation with Ginny Sassaman, whose new book is Preaching Happiness, Creating a Just and Joyful World. You can learn more about her work on her publisher's website, rootstockpublishing.com. For another Write the Book prompt on this show, I'll offer some advice I'm sure Ginny would approve of. Write about what has made you happy in the last week. As we live through this quarantine in which the entire world is basically on lockdown, I hope that you are able to read and write. And if possible, I hope you are able to support authors by attending their online events, reading their blogs and virtual book tours, and finding your way to their books. And for all of you who are trying to write while in isolation, do be sure to check the archives of Write the Book, because each episode offers a prompt written out on the podcast site under the recorded interview. I'd love your feedback about the show. Let me know if you'd like me to interview certain authors or if you have events to announce. Be sure to tell your friends about Write the Book and about the podcast site, writethebook.podbean.com. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast sites. You can visit Write the Book on Twitter and on Facebook for updates. You can also access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com. If you enjoy the show, please do rate it on iTunes, like it on Facebook, and talk about it. That's how people hear it. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. You've been listening to Write the Book. I'd like to thank WBTVLP for the opportunity to extend my show by an hour today outside of my normal time slot in order to do these special quarantine interviews. This is 99.3 FM, WBTVLP, Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. Stay well and have a great week.